May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, who seduces the whole world. John's vision on the Isle of Patmos was a vision of the new church that is now being established on earth. This vision of the new church is a story about its birth, its struggles, and its future. But it is also a story about the birth of the teachings of the new church in each of us, and our struggles, and our future. The male infant born of the woman clothed with the sun is the doctrine of the new church, its teachings. And these teachings are under attack by the dragon, both in ourselves and in the church in a collective sense. This story is a prophecy about what will happen as the new church is established. It will be attacked by the dragon, and it will defend itself, as signified by Michael and the earth. This conflict and the outcome is described in Revelation chapter 12, verse 16, which says, "But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth." We are taught in the work Apocalypse Revealed that this signifies reasonings from falsities in abundance, which the dragonists produce, fall to nothing before the spiritual truths rationally understood, which the Michaels, of whom the new church consists, bring forward. So our job, both as a church and as individuals, is to be part of Michael's army to fight the dragon by working to rationally understand the teachings of the new church in the face of reasonings from falsities in abundance. As the Lord leads us in this effort, this deluge from the dragon will fall to nothing. In order to see how we can do this, the Lord has given us a detailed description of the nature of the dragon that is posing this threat. This is not a new threat. In fact, this dragon has been the nemesis of the church from the very beginning. This persistent antagonist of the human race is the serpent in the Garden of Eden who appears as the great red dragon in Revelation. Between the paradise of Eden and the paradise of the holy city, New Jerusalem, the word contains the travails of the human race that are initiated by the serpent in Eden and end up with the locking up of the dragon in the abyss after he makes his last attempt to destroy humanity. This connection between the serpent of the Garden of Eden and the great red dragon of Revelation is explicit in the text of Revelation. Chapter 12, verse 9 states that the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent. And verses 14 and 15 of the same chapter actually refer to the beast as a serpent and not a dragon. Then again, in Revelation 20, verse 2, it states that the angel took hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent. As we can see, the term ancient serpent and serpent is used in the word to describe the dragon in Revelation. But this is not the only connection in the text between the serpent of Genesis and the dragon of Revelation. The actual nature of the dragon can remind us of the serpent in Genesis as well. The description of the dragon in Revelation as one who seduces the whole world is certainly consistent with the description of the serpent in Genesis as more cunning than any wild animal of the field which Yahuwah God had made. The heavenly doctrine makes this connection directly, identifying that by the serpent in Revelation are signified seducers, and the like is here meant by the serpent which seduced Eve and Adam. And the Lord teaches in Apocalypse Explained, the internal sense of both the serpent and the dragon is the craftiness of those who pervert the truths and goods of the word by means of reasonings from fallacies and sophistries, also from things persuasive by which the understanding is fascinated, thus by inducing upon falsities the appearance that they are true. And perhaps the clearest teaching connecting the dragon of Revelation and the serpent of Genesis is provided in the Arcana, which states that the dragon is the serpent, which seduces by reasonings from falsities. In ourselves, this evil represented by the dragon and the serpent is the desire from hell to be governed by our own intelligence rather than by divine truth from the Lord. This is what the serpent in Eden wanted Adam and Eve to do, to be governed by their own intelligence. And we will see that this desire to make our own rules is actually the source of faith alone that has grown into the monstrous dragon in Revelation. Faith alone can be thought of as simply knowing the truth but not living it, a faith separate from charity, and much of our spiritual life is spent identifying where we are doing this and repenting for it. But the dragon justifies the separation of faith and charity. This is what causes a church to fall and an individual to turn away from the Lord. And the origin of this separation and its justification is a rejection of the Lord's wisdom in favor of our own. Without the Lord's wisdom, we turn the love from Him into selfishness, and then use our understanding to confirm the false ideas that best serve our love of self. Without the Lord's wisdom guiding us as we pursue what we believe from ourselves, we can confirm false ideas like faith without charity. It is this separation of the Lord's love from the truth He teaches that leads to the faith in our own intelligence, a belief that we can look to ourselves and the world for answers rather than to the Lord. This is the serpent in Eden and the dragon in Revelation. This is the faith that comes from the ancient serpent, not from the Lord. The Lord explains to us that one of the devastating effects of separating faith from charity is the denial of the divine human form of the Lord. This may seem impossible in the new church. The very message of the new church, sent throughout the heavens on the 19th of June in 1770, was that the Lord God Jesus Christ reigns, and His kingdom shall be for ages and ages. But when we begin to see the divinity of the heavenly doctrine, and then are tempted to deny the presence of the Lord there speaking to us with His divine human voice, we can be sure it is the dragon trying to seduce us. If this ancient serpent can convince us to see the Lord's second coming as human and not divine, it can then succeed in convincing us that we can have faith without living what the Lord teaches in His second coming. And this is faith alone. This allurement of creating the truth for ourselves rather than seeking out what the Lord teaches comes from the ancient serpent. The arguments put forth to justify a departure from the Lord in His second coming are the floodwaters of faith alone spewed forth by the dragon. As we read in Apocalypse Revealed, these waters signify reasonings from falsities in abundance, which the dragonists produce. These reasonings from falsities in abundance come from the dragon that is positioned to destroy the truths from the Lord in the heavenly doctrine, if we let it. And we are in the midst of this deluge from the dragon. It is a torrent of reasonings from falsity that justify faith alone that lead to a denial of the Lord in His divine human form. So what are some of these reasonings flowing from falsities, spewing forth from the mouth of the dragon, trying to drown us in falsity before we can see the Lord teaching us in the heavenly doctrine of His second coming? We might hear in our heads, in the midst of the crashing sound of the rushing waters gushing forth from the mouth of the dragon, "It's just Swedenborg. He makes mistakes. He got things wrong. He was limited by what he knew at the time he wrote the books. There are some amazing things written there, but that doesn't make it a religion. Some of what is written there can't be right, We can easily dispense with the parts we disagree with. We don't have to figure out how to live according to those parts. The Lord is not saying those things. It was written by Swedenborg. The divine human voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly doctrine can then be muffled by this noisy torrent. His divine human presence, standing right next to us, pressing to be received through the words of his second coming, can then no longer be seen through the raging rapids gushing out from the throat of the dragon. But in response to this assault, we need to be like Michael. We need to advance in our own lives the spiritual truths rationally understood that the Lord has given us in his second coming. Indeed, the entire heavenly doctrine is spiritual truth that can be rationally understood. As we are taught an invitation to the new church, this revelation surpasses all revelations that have hitherto been made from the creation of the world. And we need not look long before we see the truths that the Lord gives us in his second coming, testifying to his divine human presence there. The truths of the church that swallow up the flood of the dragon. True Christian Religion 779 states, I have not received anything whatever pertaining to the doctrines of the new church from any angel, but from the Lord alone, while I have read the word. In the preface to Apocalypse Revealed, we read, Do not believe, therefore, that I have taken anything therein from myself, nor from any angel, but from the Lord alone. And further, invitation to the new church states, It was absolutely necessary that someone should be introduced into the spiritual world and derive from the mouth of the Lord genuine truths out of the Word. If we open our rational minds to the Lord in his second coming, we will see the Lord's divine human presence there. And he will save us from the sensual thinking that leads to faith alone. He will give us the power to overcome the seductive message of the serpent in Eden and the destructive force of the dragon in Revelation. As it is written in Apocalypse Revealed, reasonings from falsities in abundance which the dragonists produce fall to nothing before the spiritual truths rationally understood which the Michaels of whom the new church consists bring forward. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.